Well, hello and welcome to Hull Seahawks Behind the Curtain. This is episode 35. Bit of something different here. We've got a bit of a sort of digital fans forum slash what we're calling Ask the Boss. Over the last few days, we've been sort of asking for your questions to be put to Matty. There's some of those regards to on the ice, off the ice, the direction of the club. Some of them, regards to more jovial things regarding the Seahawks, and even then, we've got a few fun ones for you at the end as well. But we're going to jump straight into this one. We'll start off with, I think, the things that regarding the direction of the club going forward, Matty, and what's happened with the club over the past year. I say thank you very much for everyone who has put their questions in over the last few days. I won't be naming everyone question by question. There's a few that people have put similar things in. So we'll just run through them, but no, so we do thank you all very much for joining in with us. So Matty, kicking it off with, and this is based on something we kind of talked a little bit about in episode 34, that obviously the loss of Sam Towner is a huge one for the club. So someone said notoriously non-Hull based players don't really like moving up here, or joining a Hull-based ice hockey team, that it's a little bit out there in terms of geographical location. I'm not sure if there's anything else to it as well, but do you have anything to overcome it with, losing one of the key Hull-based players in the side, or?
Losing Towns is obviously huge for us, and to any team, losing someone like that, so reliable. Obviously he's a leader, he's been here for so long. He understands what I want and the DNA of the club. So yeah, it's huge loss. But look, this is sport, and it happens, and we have to, my job now is to sort of, the team next year, it'll be a different, say a different team, but it will be a different look team, for many reasons. But I just feel like, a couple of reasons for that. Obviously this year, I think we've sort of fell off in mainly them big games that we've not quite managed to win. Or even the games that we've sort of during the middle of the season when we was dropping points, I feel like we shouldn't have been dropping. Look, you can always lose games, but I just feel like our performance levels obviously wear down. And look, we showed towards the back end, and at times, we went on runs that we can really play with teams. But yeah, I think for me, the club always has to move on and sort of move in the right direction, and that was the case of the last year coming into this season, and it'll be no different. And yeah, I mean, look, there's many different options and stuff, and nothing's sort of decided yet, so it's hard to fully tell everybody what's going on. But look, there's many different players and options that I'm looking into, and no doubt we'll miss Towns for sure, but I have to make sure that we're in a good position, obviously post Towns. And so yeah, look, I think we're going to be a better team. I think we're going to be a deeper team, and that's the plan. I think we need more depth and more depth quality in depth. So yeah, I think that's going to be sort of this summer going forward and into next season. We have to take that next step. So that's what it'll look like.
It leads me on to another question that I had planned actually, and it was someone saying that, will there be any change to the recruitment focus this year? And also just how is the recruitment going for next season?
Yeah, I think any change, I don't think necessarily change, but like I said before, I think the team will slightly ch not change. Obviously all teams are different, but I had a very like pinpointed focus on exactly what I wanted this team to look like this year. And a lot of that revolved around sort of what players I knew I had, even the Bobby Young and the Sobs thing. I mean, we changed a lot when Sobs came in. But because of Brock and the way Brock played, I knew that we was going to have a certain style of game. And like I said, I think for us, I think we'll never lose that the edge that we've got. Obviously, we talk about it a lot, but that heavy metal style. Well, I see the game played like that, and I think we are going to be a team on the front foot, playing aggressive. And that won't change. But in terms of recruitment, look, I think as the years sort of, last year coming into this year was obviously, it was fairly simple in the fact that I knew that I needed better players and I knew the players that I wanted to get. This year it's a case of retaining the ones that obviously I think we really want and need, and I've done that pretty much. And I think now it's about, finding the players that can come in and really make a difference to making us a better team. I think it's easy to, not easy, but you can always get players that can, come in and do jobs, and that's great. But I think we've got players that are already here that can do jobs like that. And again, like, people have to remember the young players that we've also got. And I think, sometimes that goes amiss. I think when you're maybe talking about like the depth of the team and where the team are and who's playing where and all that sort of stuff, I mean, you've got to remember that, Owen Bruton and Dec Jones are two lads, and Reece that is coming up really fast. These are kids that are young, but Dec Jones has shown this year that he's ready to play, and he's a fully fledged, National League player now. He's not going backwards. He's only going forward now. He's going to be a main part of this team. He'll be a big part of that third line. And Owen, we know what he can do, and he already cemented that place. And he's going nowhere, and he's a massive part of it as well. And like I say, where we have to improve, I believe, is upwards a little bit, and sort of just fill in the gaps that I believe that maybe we just didn't quite get to this year. In terms of, recruitment wise, I mean, look, I think we've got some really good players around this area, of course, but it's really difficult to sort of bridge the gap between players that are in the area close enough to travel, or do lads need to come and live here? And we always have to look at that as well, in terms of, can we house players? Can we, so there's a lot that goes into it. It's not just, yeah, I like that player, I'll get him in. There's all sorts of factors of the job situation. Have they got one? Have they not? What? So there's a lot of factors that go into it. It's not just, pick the best players out there. It's ones that, first and foremost, good people, and that I want in this setup, and have got the right DNA to come in and really add to this group. Look, I think next year we're going to raise some eyebrows with what I'm looking at doing, and I believe we need to do that. I think we need to make a statement in our team, because I think, look, you can't just rely on every year this league will get better. Every year this it's not just about the Leeds and the MKs. All the teams will get better. But I think if you're looking at it honestly, like, Leeds need catching. And someone, MK, I'm sure, are going to do the same, and so are Swindon, and Leeds. You need to have a really good team to beat that team over 54 games, and that is the focus of me, and I'm guessing the same of Aaron Nell, and the same as Tim Wallace, and the same as everyone else, and that's where I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it purely down to, how are we going to get better to win games and win the big games when it matters? And I believe we are going to have to make some big changes, some additions to the team that I think will only make us better. And yeah, that's the focus. It's difficult, it's really hard, and but the good thing about us at the minute, as a club standpoint, is we're in a good spot off the ice in terms of the business side of it, and where the club is in a good position, that now we can sort of we can go into the summer knowing that look, this is, we're in a good spot. We can have a look at, who we're bringing in, and we can start to push it a little bit more. And yeah, like I say, you've got to do something drastic to win this league, I think. And obviously, I want to win this league. So yeah, it'll be a couple, like I said, a few eyebrows will get raised, I'm sure. But I think it's only for the better of the team on the ice. The team on the ice is what matters to me. And the performance levels and what I think you need in this league to win over 54 games. I think it's a tough league, and you need the right balance. And I say this a lot in interviews. I know I'm blabbing on now, but look, I think in this league, I think the depth players really matter. But it's that top six, in my opinion, that really do make the real difference in them games. And not just the top six forwards wise, I also think, the depth in D is a massive key as well. And obviously the biggest part is obviously the goalie. And the goalie part of it is we've seen this year that, look, I think you've seen Gozzi just be an absolute wall again. Headley, same. I mean, these goalies are very good, and you need some good players to get the puck past these lads, and that's obviously again another focus of mine.
Last one on sort of, squad build, squad makeup, recruitment is regarding sort of do some rules on roster makeup this year in terms of age brackets and so many players that have to be of a certain age. And is that remaining the same? Any changes to that that you've been made aware of? I think people are asking one just, for, the actual, interest side of it, but also I think people are also hoping that it might help them sort of get rid of any rumours or help them with sort of, trying to guess the roster based on how many players of each age group that we need, but is that staying as it is?
I mean, we've got a couple of meetings in Coventry with the owners about finalizing details around this sort of thing. Look, I think there could be a lot of changes to the league. So we're uncertain about where we are at the minute and what exactly is going to happen. On the roster side of it, I don't believe it'll change a great deal. I think it's a good thing to have, so making sure that we have got these kids, not just kids under 18s, the young lads that are in the squad, just because I think it's important that we are pushing through under 25s and really getting them into this league playing. And I think, I don't see that changing. On the over 25s, I think obviously a lot of people look at that one and try and make, where people are going to fit and stuff like that. And I think at the end of the day, I think no matter what sort of roster limits are or not, I think at the end of the day, I think for us as a club, forgetting anyone else, I think for me, it's about, making the decisions that's going to make, like I just said, make the team better on the ice. Roster limits. I think we've got a really good crop of young players, and I think young players are really difficult because what you don't want to do is bring kids in to be there and not necessarily get the ice time. I'm massive on bringing kids through and getting kids on the ice, but they also need to make sure that they're getting enough ice time within the games to make it a difference. So like Reece, for instance, this year, obviously we had him on the two-way, at the start of the year. Throughout the start, he was still with us training, but not getting that ice in games. Now, once we've seen him playing games, now I know he can play in these games, and I think he's only going to get better for it. So yeah, really, it's just about the right kids, the right players, the right ones that are ready to take the step. The step from the National League One to us, is really big. And I think, there's players in that league that we know have played in this league and can step up and down. There is them players, of course, but the overall level of that league to this league, it is a massive gap. So What you really want to see is the kids that are playing in that National One, that, if they want to step to this league, they have to really be dominating in that league. And now, if you look at Reece, for instance, if you look at his numbers in that league and what he's been able to do in that league, it makes a lot of sense why now he's in this league and he's pushing that way. For being how young he is still, you've really got to make, you've really got to make a big splash in that league to make to come up into this league. And then from there, it's still difficult, but you've got to earn them minutes and earn the win. I think we've seen that again with Dec Jones, Brooks. They've earned their ice time, they've earned it, through me. I trust them. I think, and Reece, and I think that's the way to do it. It's not just about getting kids in because there's a roster limit, because you have to have these kids. I think it's about getting the right ones and making sure that they've got the right pathway to come and play minutes when they're ready to play.
So I did have someone had asked the question regarding, any more two-way players from, Hull, and particularly the Hull Jets in North One. I suppose it's just a case of, you kind of alluded to it there of, you're always looking for the next one who's ready to step up, I suppose. We had a really good chat with Dominic Osmond, didn't we, about this sort of stuff, I think, earlier on in the year, just about, bridging that gap between, one and then up to national, and making sure kids are ready, and when they're going to get the ice time, play up, and when they're not going to get the ice time, make the most of it, and at their level. And I suppose that's just what you're doing now. It's you're looking for the next kids who are ready to make that
That's it.
bridge.
Yeah, I mean, like say, I keep my eye on the Jets stuff, and I know the ones that I think are, capable of playing at this level. And like I say, it for us again, like there's often a little bit of sort of, have you looked at this lad? Have you looked at that lad? And I have looked at them, and I think I've seen what they are and what they can do. And again, I think people go, they do miss the point of how big the gap is sometimes. And yeah, look, there's players that can 100% play, up in this league, for sure there is. But again, like I said just then, it's about, are they going to come into this league and play minutes that are really going to not just to make the team better, but also are they going to actually get better from it? Are they going to enjoy it? Are they going to actually want to do it? And that's the thing. It's these kids that maybe don't want to sit there and earn that and then minutes. It's not just a given that you're going to come and play. It's especially now. Look, I'm not going to lie. We are a club now in this league that, in my opinion, we're right near the top, and we're not a team that, maybe we're a lower end team that you might get minutes on. I'm looking at us next year being a really, we're gonna have a really good team, and I think it's again, and I believe what I'm trying to do anyway, as much as I can, is try and get these kids that I think are nearly ready to come on the ice with us in training. It's always there. I always ask and say, do these lads want to come on? But again, like Brooks, DJ, Carrot, there's a couple of others that I know that are around there, that level. Cohen Taylor's one I get name mentioned to me a lot, and I had Cohen down a couple of years ago on training, and it wasn't right for him at that time, but I'd like, to get them down again and get them on the ice and see if they're willing to make that step to, again, it's difficult. You've got to be willing to maybe sit there and earn their minutes. It's not, really difficult this day and age. Kids, they do, a lot of them do want it. Now I'm not talking about Cohen, I'm talking about in general now. It's really difficult for these kids to understand that they've got to earn their minutes. But they also have to be given that chance as well. Dec Jones is one, for instance. I played him a lot at the first year. Then, he had a bit of a tougher time and he sat a little bit, and then this year he sat at the start, and then I just saw something and just went with him, and I knew, what I know what he's got in his game, and I'll look at him. He's
He's
one of
on
the first.
fire.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the first on the list, honestly, mate. I love him. He's brilliant. So that's a kid that's earned his way, and now he's there. So Yeah, long story, but I'm always looking at the junior club. I'm looking below the Jets. I'm looking younger than that. I'm looking at, I'm in talks with a lot of these young lads and their parents and where they're at with their game and what they're doing. And I just people might not know about it. I don't talk about it, but I'm always looking and having a look because that's what I have to do. I need to know this stuff coming through. I need to know that these players are good enough to be able to take that step. And like I say, the gap is very big from Jets to us. So it's about getting them blooded in early, making sure they're on the ice with the players that they're going to be on the ice with. It's a very different level. So yeah, it's like I say, it's that's always the aim for this club.
And you mentioned there just looking at what's even below, sort of, at what's coming through the Kingston Sharks. Fair play to them. I think they had six or seven people on the ENTP stuff over the last couple of weeks, all the way from under 13s through to under 16s,
Yeah.
representing England. Sort of, I think some are in Finland, some are in Riga in Latvia, a few different tournaments going on. So, obviously, huge congratulations to them. Moving on, so something that you think you and Joe both mentioned a bit at the awards tonight, but both mentioned the wonderful partnerships, from the sponsors and other, people who have been involved with the club this year, how it's really helped throughout the season. You mentioned it just at the start of this video about how it's helped you, with preparations for next year as well. How is that side of things going? Are we looking at even more sort of, bigger names of, household names that they are joining sort of partnership with the Seahawks? A bit of a side question, someone also had asked, the Reckitt naming deal, was that a 1 year deal or is that something that's continuing?
Yeah, so the Reckitt's partnership was initially the 1 year. Obviously, we'll be in talks with Reckitt's, and we have been throughout the year. But yeah, I mean that's one partnership that again I think has really gone well for us. But look, the Reckitt's one aside, I think we've got a lot of potential interested parties that. Now it's sort of they're coming to us a little bit more. Now, look, it's very difficult to actually get these deals done. So there's a lot of work that's involved in that. And yeah, on the club side of it, I probably could announce this now, but we're actually taking on Callum Gladden in more of a full-time role for the club, and he will be essentially doing a lot of that. So a lot of sponsorship. Chats and a lot of dealing with the that side of it in a commercial setting. So yeah, I mean we've had a lot of different companies down here for match night sponsors and the likes, and there's a lot of talk now about us. And I think yeah, it's looking up now. I think we've got yeah, there's definitely potential for this summer to be a few more names, big names as well that are in the city to come on board. And Joe's working hard as well with that and doing his best to to push them forward. And like I say, we're yeah, we're always trying to look for the next one and the next thing and the next thing that can help us go forward. But yeah, I mean, like I say, it for us it's one of them where all these partnerships that we're having or trying to get involved with, they're all ones that we believe that are long term and not just in and out. I think the ones that we do have, I mean, we've seen it for years. Smails Goldie, a prime example of that. They've been around for years and years, and they're the partnerships that we really do want. And like I say, the Reckitt's thing has been brilliant. I think we've done a lot for Reckitt's in terms of going into their facility and trying to get our name out there. Within their brand and helping them with stuff, and obviously we've talked about how much they've helped us in certain aspects, getting us into meetings and stuff like that. And like I said, the Reckitt's people are great, and I think they've loved it. So yeah, I think obviously that one, we'll leave that one there, but I think that one's a really positive side of it. And like I say, a lot of the other ones are in. We're in talks at the minute. Some are really nearly done, and some are done, and obviously we'll release them when when we can. But like I say, the club's in a really good spot, and I think positive going forward that we know we've got some really big partnerships, and also just people generally around the club that want to do more and help, and word of mouth in Hull is massive, and in any city, but in Hull it's I feel like it's a lot bigger. Everyone sort of knows everyone within the business world as well, so it's very much a they've been and they like it and they might want to come as well, and it's there's a lot of that, and yeah, look, it's very positive off the ice. That's all I can say. We're in a really good space. So yeah.
Excellent stuff. Our next one is just kind of answered a little bit, a little bit by Ed Nielsen actually on the forum. But someone's asked about sort of fan and player slash club interactions of more off ice events. Whether it be quiz nights, Christmas parties, barbecues, meet the player events. Obviously, a lot of that's going to be going through Ed and the supporters club now, isn't it? But it is something that the club and sort of those working on the supporters club have committed to for next year.
Yeah, so Ed is has been absolutely brilliant, and essentially, I mean, it was basically I just rang Ed and said, "Look, Ed, I think you're the right guy for this. Let's do it." And he's got so many good ideas. He goes away, does his own research on different. He was actually at my house the other day for God knows how long talking about different clubs in the US and what they do, and all sorts. So yeah, the club is actively, it's not even the club, it's the supporters club. Ed and what he's leading is actively gonna do a lot more stuff, so that is in really good hands. There will be a lot more events, different things coming through. They're going to help us a lot more with different events and all sorts. So yeah, I mean, Ed, yeah, the supporters club is in a really good is in good hands. Ed's working hard a lot, and he's helping me a lot with certain things, and he's a really good guy, and he wants the best for this club and cares about it. And yeah, there's going to be way more stuff going on off the ice for fans, including buses, including quiz nights, including all sorts. So that is all coming, and it'll be great to see. The club needs it, and I think we see it a lot. Different teams have really strong supporters clubs, and it's always been the plan for this club to have one. Unfortunately, this year it didn't happen, but probably for the best now, because I think we've got the right person there in charge of it and pushing it forward. He's got a lot of help with different people as well. And yeah, like I say, I think it's in great hands, and that'll be brilliant.
So it does kind of lead us on to as well. Someone's asked, will there be another sort of family fun day slash shirt launch event in August this year?
They will, yes. Yeah, we aren't ex we've not exactly details on it yet. We haven't exactly got down to them all yet, but yeah, there'll definitely be one, and it'll yeah, I can't say exactly where it's gonna be, but I've got a very good idea of I think where it might be. It might involve the gym again. The gym's in a new spot now, and it's got a really good place for outdoor stuff, barbecues, cafe on board. So yeah, definitely we'll be doing one again. We just need to finalize where we're going to do that. And yeah, but 100% there will be a shirt launch.
Last one on this sort of section, I think. Someone you kind of sort of briefly mentioned it a little bit with your news about Callum earlier, but obviously the media side has grown a lot over this year and a lot of volunteers on that side of things. And of course, Callum's now growing in terms of what he does. But any sort of new future further plans for what might be more to come this year on that side of things?
In commercial side.
Well, commercial and sort of obviously Callum started with the media. I know he's now growing into the commercial as well. Obviously shows how much how well he does with his work at the Seahawks. But
Yeah.
on sort of the sort of the media side of things. Of course, there's been new photographers this year. The podcast has been added. There's the new behind the scenes sort of videography that's been done. Anything new that people can expect on the media side that's set in stone yet, or?
I think there's going to be a lot more stuff, interactive stuff, media side of it. We've had obviously 2 years of trying to just do as much as we can. This year has been brilliant how much work Emma's done for the club. Can't thank her enough for how much work she's done for us. We'd have been lost without her at times. Callum couldn't do a great deal this year due to his other work commitments, which is part of the reason why we need to bring Callum in more on a full-time basis, because we just need somebody in that role full-time that can devote the time to it. Emma's unfortunately got a job as a teacher, so that's her constraints. But yeah, in terms of media and what we're looking at doing there, I mean, we really want to push the YouTube channel. We've got a lot of good footage that, fingers crossed, it'll all get sorted at some point, and we'll be putting out some interesting short documentaries and different things like that. So that's still in the works. And yeah, in terms of the streaming side and everything like that, that'll all potentially change and get a lot better. With hopefully an app, and hopefully that'll all work sort of in sort of with each other in terms of the YouTube and how the media sort of gets distributed. Look, we know that we need to improve in these areas, not because we need to, but we want to. We want to make the club a lot better, sort of on social media, but also interactively in terms of YouTube and how people are viewing us. So yeah, that's a massive part of it for us. We've got some really good people that are involved. Obviously, you're a massive part of that, Connor. Connor, Callum, Emma's doing great. Obviously, Paul and the Power Media boys, they're massive on wanting to push all this forward. Matt Mal, huge part of it as well. So we've got some really good people that want to drive the media side. I understand how big that is now in sport and YouTube sort of documentary style stuff. And the photography this year has been unbelievable. We've really opened it up to new people and different ideas, and we've got so many good photographers now that are helping. So yeah, we've got all the bits in place to make it obviously a lot more the viewing of the club and being more open and giving more insights to behind the scenes, which I know people love. I love it myself in all different sports, so I know how big that is. So yeah, expect a lot more stuff media wise, YouTube. We want to get this channel bumped up. We want to get it, firing up, not just the YouTube channel of us, but also, making sure that the streaming side of it is getting a boost. And also, you're a big part of that, Connor. So you can speak on that as well. But yeah, we really want to make sure that that's, we realized this year that there was times where the streaming probably weren't at the level, but unfortunately, we are in a tin can, and the signal can be lost at times. But other teams have just as bad streaming services, by the way. So we get a bad rap a lot of the time, but there's every stream struggles, I think, with stuff. But we're obviously actively trying to make that better. And yeah, so like I said, there's a lot more stuff coming media side, and we are fully aware that we want to really push this club forward on online.
Next up here on the Ask the Boss podcast, episode 35, Behind the Curtain, we're staying with sort of the Seahawks and staying club focused, but these ones are a little bit more jovial, I think. Probably won't be as in depth on these ones, Matty, but someone's asked a highlight of the season last year.
Highlight of the season. I mean, probably just playing in the final, I guess. I mean, getting through that semi was a big moment for us, obviously, with it being Leeds. So I'd say that's probably the highlight. But the occasion at home, I think, was the highlight, the final. We come away with a loss, but I think the night was, we packed it out. The shirts looked great. Yeah, and I think obviously on the night, I think we should have won. So yeah, I think that's probably the highlight.
Next one. Someone said, is there anything you miss or anything you don't miss since moving from playing to coaching?
Oh, well, I don't miss the pain that I was in all week after trying to play. I definitely don't miss that. I don't miss playing. I miss just the I miss just the battle, like being in the battle with the lads, like in an away game when you nick a win and all the lads are together and yeah, just the battle really and being in the just in the weekly battle of just playing, you know what I mean? Just trying to win. But I'm in that now, but it is a very different feeling. So yeah, generally I don't miss the pain, but I miss the power play. That's what I miss. I miss being on the power play. Yeah, that's probably the biggest thing I miss.
Excellent. Someone's asked, will there be any? You mentioned Halloween specifically, but I thought I'd just sort of stretch the question a bit. Any other new themed jerseys coming up? Any ideas already for the new year? Because I say every jersey this year is absolutely smashed out the park. I think people are looking to see what else they can get their hands on.
Yeah, I think we obviously did a lot of shirts this year, but I think that was partly down to the cup final shirts. I mean, other than that, we did the usual. Obviously, look, like we'll always do Remembrance in Hull because it's such a big night for us in Hull. It's obviously something that we want to keep that tradition going. I think it's a worthy one, and I think obviously it's a great night when we get the band in there and all that, so we'll keep that one going. And then obviously we've got Christmas, obviously we'll always do a Christmas shirt. Halloween's a funny one, so I think it's always it's close to Remembrance, and then you've got the Christmas shirt, so it's one of them where you don't want to do too many just to sort of just to do them, I guess. And people were saying we did too many this year, but the thing is, like we, I guess, I think we do a really good job on the shirts. I think the cup final shirt was brilliant. Obviously, we got a bit of stick about the playoff ones,
Yeah.
what can you do? We can't get them all right. It was just the numbers, really. We just
Exactly, yeah.
didn't make them thick enough, or we should have maybe outlined them. But I think overall, I think the shirts were great, like the blackout and the
The
sort
blackout was stunning.
of, yeah, like the grey with the white as well. So yeah, I think, yeah, I mean, we'll always look at doing something. I mean, we didn't do one last year that I thought would have been really good. We was gonna do an Andy's Man Club shirt, and black it out fully, but we had the playoff shirt coming and we just didn't end up doing it. But yeah, I mean, like I say, Halloween always a possibility, but for me, I think the Remembrance shirt is just a little bit more worthy, I guess. I always like doing that one.
No, I think it's a very fair answer. I say that with them all being so close, you'd end up with three special edition shirts within less than 2 months, wouldn't you? But in terms of the shirts, I think we had a, I think there was a bit of a dig made. I think when the playoff shirts came out, I think we may have been on the Leeds Knights supporters forum, and
Sure.
I had to argue the point of no one's forced to buy the shirts, but when they look that good and fans want to buy them, why stop them? That's the thing.
Yeah.
As you say, choosing the right occasions, I think that's the key. I think last year that I saw, I think Belfast Giants in the Elite League last year might have had a new one every other week from what I
Yeah.
saw online. There was some
Yeah, you can
crazy
definitely
ones.
overdo them. Yeah, you can overdo them, definitely, but it's like you say, mate, you get in a cup final, you're gonna do a cup final shirt. I think that's just especially in the position we was. Obviously, our second year, it was a big occasion.
Also, MK did one as well. MK did one as well. That's the
Yeah,
thing.
exactly. I think, yeah. I think shirts in this league, I mean, any league, but this league, I think generally, I think the shirts go really well. People doing sort of different shirts and all that sort of stuff. I think it's cool. I think it's a good part of, supporting the club and getting, these different, iterations of different shirts and got a couple of ideas for next year's shirts and I think they'll be good.
No, certainly so. I think I did it. I think I interrupted Joe for just a brief moment at the awards night just to shout out Matt Mallory, as I think he got robbed. I think it was maybe it was one of the major sort of hockey forum Twitter sort of pages give the Bees neon shirt the shirt of the year for our league, and I thought Matt Mallory had been robbed. I thought it was quite nice the Bees won, but Matt Mallory's been robbed there.
Yeah, I think they were being nice to the bees, bless them. But yeah, I don't know. You can look just our cup shirt, the general cup shirt that we had this year. I think that was the best shirt in the league by a pretty long way. I mean, I speak to even you say Leeds, but I know Aldi really likes our shirts and logos, etc. So yeah, I think we're doing that right, Matt Mal. He does so much for the club. I think it's, need to give him a shout out. He's, yeah, I mean, he takes a lot of flack from me. Not flack, but I'm always like when the shirts are coming up, obviously, I'm always getting on him about different ideas and changing every little bit of it if it's not quite there. Obviously, I didn't do enough because I didn't change the numbers. And it's not on him that it's on me because I he's not really from an ice hockey background, to be honest. So he's not used to sort of knowing that that would be a thing. And it's just one thing that I didn't pick up on. An error on my part, that one.
Nah, I say, the shirts are always fun, and as you say, I can't wait for the shirt launch for next year's already. Will be an exciting weekend. Next one, how do you stay motivated during the off season? I suppose this one's they've aimed it more at yourself, but obviously, I think there's a few branches we could go into on this one, but the main motivation's just got to be silverware, hasn't it?
Yeah, motivation for me is not very difficult to get. I think I've probably got too much sometimes. I think it's I think in the off season it's I think that's the time that I've probably got a little bit more, especially in this role now. When I used to play it was sort of yeah, the summer was like just totally switched off from the game. I didn't even think about it. All I thought about was just being as fit as I could. So I guess I was thinking about it, but it was more just the actual fitness side of it. Now I'm constantly thinking about the team and the games and even got the power play in my head constantly and just different, how it's all going to fit together. Yeah, it's non-stop in my head, so yeah, it's not hard to stay motivated, is the answer.
I say as we go through these, they are getting, I think, less and less serious now, looking at what we've got left from the fans. But who's the funniest Seahawk? Oh, there's a few contenders there, I think,
Tell you
surely.
what, there's a few funny there's a few funny lads, but not in the funny that. It's funny to watch, I'll tell you that. Yeah, I could watch a few of them for a while and just laugh. I think they're all just so bizarre, to be honest. There's so many lads on that. I mean, you look at Bones. I mean, that kid's just like a walking disaster, really. I mean, he's hilarious. He's just, you know what I mean? Like, great kid, just absolutely bombed out. So, yeah, there's a few, mate. Carrot this year was an absolute. He just what a character he is. Carrot, he's really the lads really took to him. He was hilarious. Emil is funny again, just to look at. and laugh. All he's doing is laughing constantly, him and Stubbs. If you've ever been around them two, it's like two little girls. Just, I mean, we had them on the podcast, didn't we? And literally just giggled for the whole time. But yeah, so there's a few funny lads. So yeah.
Talking of funny, so they've gone from funny lads to the funniest moment. Someone said, "What's the most laugh out loud moment you've had coaching the team?"
Oh God. Probably tough one that. I'd say the funniest one this year. It happened recently, and it was in Slough against the Bees, and Emil just was skating down the ice, and out of nowhere, just literally toe-picked out of nowhere, and just went flying. No one near him, no one even remotely doing anything to him, just fell over, and it was tremendous. I mean, Stubbs is always. He's always like giggling and never really takes anything seriously, but he always looks at me when something like that happens because it's just funny. And obviously, I find things like that really funny as well. So, and it was the fact that it's just him. And yeah, that was good. A few moments with Tim as well. I mean, he's again, like you know what I'm saying about this. Tim is a laugh. He's a walking like. I mean, it takes so much, off us lot. The banter's off the scale with him, and he takes it really well. But yeah, I think a good thing with that, one of the funniest bits with Tim was when I put him in against someone. I can't remember who it was now. And then for the next like 3 weeks, he was walking around telling everyone his leading save percentage in the
Oh,
league.
yeah, he went in for two games, didn't he? He went in twice, and I think he had 8 from 8 saves, I think, 100%. And I say, and then I think I saw him the week after he started against Telford, and we just had a bit of a giggle about it.
It soon went down, bless him. I did a good he did a good job. It was good to put them two in, really, that game. That was a difficult weekend. I know we spoke about that, but it was tough to know what to do for the best. But yeah, fair play. Gave Timmy Boy the start. He does a lot for the club. Takes a lot as well. So he deserved it.
Some people might not know he's the backup of, well, stepped in as equipment manager for the final weekend, didn't he? With Tommy
He did.
being away with Archie on England under 13s, I believe. I think they were in they're in Finland.
He's done it a few times for us now. And to be honest, with Tim, I mean, he's a great lad, obviously. I've got a lot of time for Tim, and he's always helping out anyway. No matter if he's meant to be sort of doing that role or not, he's always helping. But yeah, I mean, next year he's going to take a bit more of a role within that and help Tom a bit more within that sort of setup. So yeah, just to do the equipment manager's job on your own is the hard work. There's so much work that goes into that. So, yeah, I mean, most teams have more than one just because of how much work there is involved. And Tim's brilliant at that. And he'll still practice with us and all that stuff as well. So, he'll get to do that. But yeah, he's brilliant at doing the equipment side of it as well. So,
Next up, someone's asked for what's the team's favourite. Well, they said takeaway, but I know that obviously pizzas are normally brought in for the lads after every game. But off the ice, away from, after a game, anything else that the team do
yes,
together, that sort of thing.
got to be Slough kebabs, mate. That's one of the bit the that's one of the trips the lads are all looking forward to. And then there was a new one this year in Romford against the Raiders. We went to this Greek every game, so there was both them two were both pretty good. The Greek was really good, but that Slough kebabs place is. That takes the biscuit, that one. Brilliant.
Bit dangerous ahead of a long journey home, I may think. But
Yeah.
someone's asked, when will Jack be signing for the Seahawks? I think As you say, he's had some shining moments this year.
Oh, he has definitely lapped it up this year. Couple of times, bless him. Look, I don't know. He's I don't. He's one with your kids. You know, for me, two things I always think: as long as he's enjoying it, and as long as you know they're working hard when they're doing it. If they're putting it in and they're being serious about it. I don't push him one bit, but he obviously loves it because he's around it so much. Everyone can see that. So, you know what I mean? Him and Joe's lads as well, they're all around it constantly now. So, yeah, they love it.
Someone said, "Who would win in a fight, Chamber or Sammy the Seahawk?" I think these some of these we're getting into the depths now, but
Yeah, that's a tough one, that one. I don't think you can hit a mascot, can you? That
I
could
think
be a little.
Gritty probably would out there for the
Yeah, Gritty puts it in, doesn't he? Yeah, I'd have to say Bob. I'd have to say Bob.
I'd back Bob as well. This one's a tough one. It may take us a few moments for you to work out this one. Someone said if you were to make a fantasy hockey sort of one line, so goalie, 2D, and three forwards, out of all the players have played for Hull teams over the years, this is, I think, a brilliant question. We could do a full pod on this maybe one day,
Yeah,
but.
a very good question that. Jesus, so only Hull players.
Yeah, players who've played for, they haven't specified, you know, so I assume we can go all the way from Humberside Seahawks through to the Hull Seahawks.
Yeah. Well, I'll just stick within my era because obviously I know them players. Although I have said on here before, Kelly Reid was a D-man that I absolutely loved when I was a kid. That was the K Kingston Hawks. Always remember him. He played number seven, left-handed. He was brilliant. So I'd probably say, I mean, to the goalie, it's tough, that one. Bush was a special lad. Me and Bush really got along really well. But I'd have to probably say Bouncy just because Brit and you know how well his career's gone, so probably go Bouncy. And then on D, I'd have to say Curtis Dooley. Obviously, he's one of my really good friends, still speak to him now. Obviously, spent a lot of years with him. And I'd have to probably say second up on D, I'd have to go Dec Barma, to be honest. I'd have to. Dec Barma's got to get a shout. I think last 2 years, I think he's been brilliant. And yeah, there's no doubt that he's, as far as British players go, I mean, he's right up there for Hull that I've seen D-wise. I mean, Stevie Lee's got a case, but he didn't stay in Hull as long as he maybe, you know, should have. But yeah, Stevie Lee, obviously, special mention to him and Dave, obviously. But both of them two moved on quite quick. I have to say Deck, yeah. Right, forward line. So we'll go. This is a tough one. I'm going to have to go Klutz in the middle centre just because of how much of an impact he had. Obviously, we've been through this on me. Klutz will have to go in there. Obviously, Tens. I've got to put Tens in there. And then. That's a tough one. I'm gonna go Bob just because you know we won it together, Pirates. You know Bob, obviously known him since he was a lad, young lad, and yeah, back home now where he belongs. And yeah, I have to put Bob in there.
I think we have to put that out as a challenge now. Do you think you can put together a better six in terms of the history
Yeah.
of Hull hockey than Matty? That's your challenge, everyone. I'll put a little post out on the forums for you to get your answers in. But you've heard Matty's, so let's see what you can all bring to the table. Next one, do you have a favourite NHL team and then slash player? I think we covered player before, so I think we talked about
Yeah,
Martin St. Louis.
St. Louis is definitely my sort of, I guess St. Louis, but Crosby's very close second. Like I love St. Louis for being like the size and the way he played, just you know being how sort of tough and good he was. But yeah, I mean, Crosby, both me and Bobby actually follow Pittsburgh quite heavily. Pittsburgh Penguins are pretty much, I would say, my team, mine and Bob's team. We follow them quite a lot. Obviously, Crosby being the big part of that one. So yeah, Pittsburgh.
Someone's asked, where's your favourite place to be? At the gym or at the rink?
God, I don't know. It's one of them. Probably in like February time, I'll say the gym. But then you get sick of both, to be honest. So I'll probably say the gym just because the gym's I'm there more. And yeah, the ring, it's not the, let's be honest, in the nicest of places at times, is it?
I've said this, but then I say a lot of our fans, I think a lot of the fans who've maybe joined the Seahawks on this journey sort of over the last year or two went to their first trip to Peterborough last week. I told them they were in for a treat. I think one of them got hit on the head with a bit of the ceiling.
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely not anywhere near the worst in the league by a long shot. There's definitely a lot. I mean, honestly, I even think about like Leeds and MK. I mean, the nicer, newer rinks, but they're freezing and they're not exactly nice to be in either. Honestly, Hull is probably as good as you're gonna get, really, in terms of just being in there. Yeah, it's old, needs new floor. It's not, you know, it's not the nicest, cleanest of rinks, but the temperature, you know, the ice is good. It's yeah, it's not bad at all, really.
I say I've not been on the, well, I've not been on the ice in a while, but obviously I've not in terms of the other rinks, don't know about that side of things. But Hull and Ice Sheffield, I think, are probably gonna, you know,
Yeah, I should.
in terms of things being nice and comfortable, and you know, it's not gonna be spectacular, but you know, this at this level, you know, just having somewhere that's all right, I think, you know,
Yeah,
I think
that's it.
that's where it is.
Yeah, pretty much all right. Yeah, I mean, Romford's nice, actually. That's a newer rink, like a leisure centre one. So that's always nice to go to. But yeah, I Sheffield, I reckon. Yeah, that's
Bristol's
nice.
more in the vein. I've not been down there yet, but that's more in the vein of sort of Leeds, isn't it? And so
Yeah,
that's
just
the newer
freezing.
plan of ice rinks.
Just freezing cold, mate. Yeah. I mean, they're not bad rinks. They're ideal and perfect really for this league, but they're not comfortable to be in.
And the very last question. I'm not sure if someone's expecting a comedy answer, or I don't know if you know anyone who's maybe got a few skills, but if you could have one celebrity join the Seahawks, who would it be? The
Whoa.
final question.
One
I don't know.
celebrity.
I don't know if they're just wanting someone for the laughs or whether they're actually wanting someone who can play a bit.
For the fans. All right, well, I'll probably give both. I mean, it'd be nice to have, you know, like how Wrexham have got like Ryan Reynolds and he's like come in, Annie, and just like took it over, like, you know. I'd have to say Jurgen Klopp. I love Jurgen Klopp. I think he's brilliant. He'd be great just to come in and get the lads going a little bit. But yeah, I mean the other side of it, you get like Connor McDavid, wouldn't you? That'd do, wouldn't
You'd take it, wouldn't you? It'd
he?
fit
He'd
in
probably
quite
take.
well.
Yeah, I reckon he'd do all right. Like,
In terms of actual celebrity stepping foot on the ice, as in non-playing, there's only two I can think of who I know have a little bit of skill, and it's two Canadians, Bublé and Bieber, both get on the ice a bit. The
yeah,
only two I
Bieber's
can
quite
think
good.
of.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably a few more out there, I'm guessing, but yeah, that's the only ones. I know Biebs is big into it, isn't he?
Yeah, he's friends with Matthews and Marner, I believe, down at the Maple Leafs, and he was I think Bublé and Bieber were both celebrity captains, the All Star last year as well. So
What's your favourite team?
the Avalanche, isn't it?
Oh, of course it is, yeah.
Denver all the way.
Denver boy, aren't you? Of course it is,
Exactly.
yeah.
Started with the
How do
Broncos
you
and just
feel about it? It's not started brilliant, has it?
well, the Avalanche. What I say, game one was a tough one. We could have.
Tough one.
You know, Alexander Georgiev threw us a little bit away. You know, it was not the greatest goaltending performance I've ever seen, but he stood up tall in game two, 1-1 for Third game's tonight as we're recording, actually. Hopefully on home ice at the Ball Arena, the Avs can get themselves ahead because another cup run would be quite nice. But yeah, it was the NFL draft last night for my other American sports team, so that was a late night. So
How was it? What,
it
like,
was.
did they do like the first overall and all that?
Exactly. Yeah, I've always wondered. It'd be interesting to do a mock NIHL draft. I wonder. I wonder who we'd all go with in that. That might be a special edition pod at one night. We'll get everyone from.
Like current players, like what they thought the draft would be. That'd be, yeah, it would be a good one to do that.
I wonder where a few of us would go. How high our Seahawks would fare in an NIHL National Division draft. I've got a feeling a fair few of them would go pretty high. But that's pretty much all we've got time for here on episode 35 of Behind the Curtain. We hope you've enjoyed this Ask the Boss. We'll show you know to make time to do it again sometime in the future. You have fun with that one, Matty? I think it was your idea,
Yeah,
that one as well.
it was good. I think, like I say, we don't often get chance to do as many fans forums. I mean, we do, to let everyone know, we do want to do fans forum. Obviously, this summer, at some point, we'll get one going. Obviously, we'll have the shirt launch. But yeah, I mean, I'm always down if people, yeah, like you say, you want to do it, and the fans have got questions. Obviously, a lot of the time as well, they might ask the question if. Obviously, behind the screen, if they don't feel like they really want to ask the question out loud or something like that, it's maybe easier that they can just ask it. But yeah, I'm like I say, I'm an open book about a lot of things. Anyone wants to ask stuff, I mean, some of the stuff we can't quite talk about. But yeah, people should be excited. I think we're gonna, like I say, raise a few eyebrows this year, and I'm looking forward to it. Third year in, it's looking
No,
good.
it's going to be an exciting one, the 24-25 season with the whole Seahawks. So make sure, get your season tickets in. I know we're running up to the deadlines for a few of these payment packages as well. So make sure
Season tickets have gone very well. Just to add another one into there, I didn't talk about that, but yeah, we're well over 300 now, and it's gone really, really well. So brilliant, yeah. So the deadlines are coming on these the payment, like you say, mate. So if you're unsure and you still do maybe want to get one, and you ain't got the money to sort of just splash out, it's a great option. Obviously, because you won't get another chance at that payment plan. So yeah, if you're on the fence about it, just trust me, you're not gonna want to miss next year. It's gonna be a good one.
No, get those sorted if you haven't already, and make sure if you've enjoyed this episode 35 of Behind the Curtain, make sure you like, follow, and subscribe for more wherever you get your podcasts from. And we'll be back pretty shortly with a couple of GB stars in episode 36.